Good evening to you. Second time around, Thursday, June 13th, 8:55 p.m. now. I actually was here relatively on time at 8:30. But now I'm pushed back a little bit, almost to the normal handsome hour time slot. Do me a favor in the comments. Let me know if it just starts electronically buzzing in your ear. I've already destroyed that live feed. Ron Gable and Ted Berkey says sounds better, but it was at the 1 minute and 30 second mark where it stopped. And I think I was well past, I think I was past 10 minutes of talking about things, which mercy. I apologize to anybody who had to hear that. Thank you to you guys who are trying to get my attention. Steve Kendall specifically was, I think there were multiple people trying to notify me. So I appreciate that. Obviously I won't take a call during a show, but I understand now why he was trying to get a hold of me. So thank you to you guys who are tuning in the second time. This time, we'll keep our eye on about that minute and a half mark. We're almost there right now. You guys can tell me if it starts buzzing. I have no idea what is going on. I thought maybe I had a connection issue, a short in the line. And it went almost 20 minutes. That's awesome. So one thing I didn't do is I still have not tasted my bourbon. I have a Glencairn poured and ready to sample. So that's good. We'll get there. But I think this is good stuff to talk about. I'm going to give it another try. I don't know if it's any better or any worse, and neither will the rest of the world, because I went back. You guys couldn't hear anything after a minute and a half. And this is why I need a higher budget. I need a producer. I need a fancy office and a high salary here at Boiled Sports. But instead, I have no salary, no producer, two-year-old MacBook Pro, which is fine. It's a good computer. But sometimes things happen. And I don't spend a lot on cables. I don't think that stuff matters. But who knows? Maybe that was it. So Adam P says his drink is almost gone now. So Adam, you're gonna have to tough it up and either enjoy it with me when by the time I get to the bourbon talk, hopefully you'll have something to sip on. I put it in the title. I talked about it in the last failed video. Tonight I'll be reviewing Knob Creek's Single Barrel Reserve. It's a 9 year old bourbon. It is a heavy hitting 120 proof. It's not one. I think there's a sweet spot for me about 100 to 110, especially in those ryes. I like that higher proof rye. This bourbon, I don't know why I explained this, and I hope it's going to be a weird thing. I'm in like a time warp, but I don't know when I got this bottle. I don't know who bought this bottle for me. But I'm going to review it because I don't have really the money to go ahead and buy a new bottle every week. And I don't drink that much, truth be told. So this is a bottle. I'll show it in a minute, show the label that I really don't know much about other than I know I've had it. I drank it before. I didn't drink to the point where I couldn't remember. I just don't know when I drank it. So we'll see how it goes. The funny thing is I'm not a big Knob Creek fan. I don't think there's a lot of character in the normal base Knob Creek bourbon. I think it's fine. It's easy one to sip on. It's not a bad bourbon. It's not offensive, but it's also not one that I write home about, right? Doesn't have a lot of character. I think this one will have some character because of that high proof. And 9 year old, again, you get something that old, that age, it should be a little bit better. And we'll see what my reaction is live and on the spot. I know Ron Gable's not a bourbon drinker, but I do appreciate him being here. Let me know, guys, before I get into the rolling, how the audio sounds. I hope it's good. You can just leave it in a comment here. But I'm going to get started. If there's any issues, raise your hand in the back of the room. It'd be great. I do appreciate it. I mean, we had a decent amount of people here, and there's fewer this time around, of course. And that's okay. I understand it. Eventually, I think you'll listen to it. I appreciate everyone who has been around. Thank you, Ted. Been around this summer, and we've stayed in touch this way. This has been good. It's been a good thing to meet weekly or biweekly. Biweekly is a funny term because it can mean every other week or it can mean twice in the same week. But for this sake, it's been twice or once a week. Last week, we had the special surprise get together following Cannon Catching's big announcement that he was going to leave his signed letter of intent. Some details have come out since then, thanks to GBI, thanks to Brian Newbert specifically, who is a guy that I trust. If he says it, generally happens. And one thing he said is Catchings never got on campus. I know there was a guy in the comments that said Catchings never got on campus. That's correct. The exchange between Painter and Catchings happened over the phone. This is something Catchings had happened a couple times. He had gotten cold feet a couple times. And I think Painter was just kind of done dealing with it. And it's okay. Time to move on. I don't think any Purdue fans should have hard feelings about it. Just move on. But in the meantime, as he moves on, there is going to be a beneficiary of that amount of minutes, however many minutes Catchings was going to get. I guessed he was going to be a starter by January. And I thought this guy's going to have probably 15 to 20 minutes right out of the chute, if not more, because he's that skilled. Such a unique combination of size, length, and technical skill, the ability to finish above the rim, the ability to shoot. So those minutes go someplace, right? And so now who falls into line? Who's the guy that takes those minutes? Well, I put a little poll out there for you guys to react to on the YouTube community tab. I don't even know if this stuff, if you had seen, some of you guys voted, but the runaway winner, not runaway, but he's up by 10 points, is Miles Colvin. Miles Colvin is a guy that will definitely benefit from the fact that Catchings is not going to be on Purdue's campus. And he's not going to come play on the team. Second place was Cam Heidi. Third was Jakari Harris. Fourth, Brian Waddell. And fifth was someone else. In my opinion, I had Cam Heidi as my vote. I think Cam Heidi is... I told you when I gave my thoughts about who would start this year, that Cam Heidi was a guy that I thought could rebound and would probably be on the court early because of that ability to rebound. I also said, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, first might find the court and might be starting early in the season. And I'll still stand by that just because of the idea that you need rebounds. And Painter stresses a couple things, as we all know. He stresses guys knowing their role in defense, playing hard defense, attacking the glass, and everybody staying within the system on offense. Well, Caleb First knows the system. He generally plays fantastic basketball early in the year, and he hits that glass. Second there, though, Heidi's ability to athletically attack the glass on offense. We saw the highlight from the national championship game. It is still circulating, still everywhere. And his size and strength. If you've listened to some of the interviews, Heidi said he is stressed, getting stronger, and working on his mid-range jumper. He said he was already confident with his three this last season, but he feels like the mid-range jumper is something that it's another weapon that he can have. So that's great to hear. It's great to hear that he's working hard as already a physically imposing guy, to hear that he's working on his physique. There was a big dust up, if you will, this week. A lot of people saw the pictures and the video of Purdue's first basketball practice and one player on the team. A lot of people said he didn't come back big and strong enough. Well, I think the problem, let's look at this two ways. One, it's kind of weird. We're all checking out 20-year-old dude and really getting that into that business. But the second thing is, I think what people want to see is they think that's an indicator of how hard somebody works. Let me, before we do that, before you think that it's easy to put on masks for everybody, it's just not. I had a friend in college who worked his ass off in the gym, and he just never got stronger. He never filled out, okay? I'm not saying that's the question with Fletch Lawyer, okay? But I think it's fair to say he might be one of those guys that completely runs his muscle off, right? He's a naturally thin guy right now, and is... maybe it just doesn't bulk up. Conversely, like we said, Heidi's big and strong. Miles Colvin, he looks like in 2.5 months since we saw him last, since many of us saw him last, I'm sure his friends and family saw this coming. It probably looks incremental to them. They may not notice, but he looks notably stronger. And that's a good thing. That's a nice thing to see. There's also a video out there of him working really hard. And so guessing that Colvin is going to be the beneficiary there, that's another good one. I think to me, it's going to be Cam Heidi or Colvin that benefit the most. Will Brian Waddell benefit from this? He might. There's minutes to be had. And I think the big thing you're going to see is where's the chemistry? Who are the players that that are cohesive. It's a big deal to lose a threat like Zach Edey. I keep saying this. That guy was an eraser of flaws, right? Because he was such an automatic bucket. You get the ball into him and he scored. Illinois fans, Tennessee fans are still angry about it. And that's kind of funny to me. I see it once a day, Illinois or Tennessee fan complaining. This week, I saw a Syracuse fan yesterday, a young Syracuse fan saying that Zach Edey shouldn't be mentioned as the best player in the last decade in college basketball. And this guy really took umbrage of it. And I looked at his picture and I looked a little deeper, and that young man has to be 20 something, 21, 22. He never saw Carmelo play live. He didn't remember that, but he's going to go ahead and make that statement. There are a lot of people that dislike Zach Edey, but the reason they dislike Zach Edey was because he was so damn effective and so good and frustratingly good for teams that just would flip on a game and see, gosh, here we go with this guy again. Yeah, he's that good. He was that good. We were spoiled rotten with Zach Edey. Zach Edey will go and make a lot of money very soon, or more money, I guess, very soon. But It's going to be a little bit of a growth year. 2 years ago, Purdue was ahead of schedule, and they had that great season where we're like, holy moly, they just beat everybody in the pre-con, and they ran up the polls, and it was fun to watch. And it was really tough to be critical of that team, especially in the pre-con. This team, it's going to be similar in that I think the expectations, even among Purdue fans, aren't nearly what they were. A lot of Purdue fans still think this is a top 10 team. I don't think it's that high. I've been pretty clear about that. I think a team being ranked in the teens is awesome, especially in a year where you're losing one of the best players, if not the best player in the program history. But having three starters return, we can't minimize that either. So will there be anybody else that benefits from the departure of the crown jewel of the class? Absolutely. Jakari Harris. Jakari Harris is a guy, he's a combo guard that can do a lot. And I think he will benefit from not having catchings here. The thing that I would say, especially since I see that video that you guys have all seen about of practice, there's some guys there that are going to be a lot better than everybody thinks. Painter recruited these guys for good reason. Defense looks like it's legit already, even early, you know, very early, getting together formally for these guys. Athleticism is better. And Jakari Harris is a guy that's going to be tough to keep him off the floor because he's such a two-way player. So good on defense. So physically ready to play and a weapon on offense at the same time. All right, so good. We got through this far without any digital buzzing. So that's big victory. We're at 12 minutes and 54 seconds already. It's nowhere near a quick cast by definition. It's not. So the next thing I want to talk about quickly was the college football preview put up by Pete Fiatek. I think I said that right. I wrestled with this twice already tonight. You guys didn't hear it because it was behind a digital garble. College Football News put up a preview of your Purdue Boilermakers football team. And I thought it was interesting for a couple reasons. The first one I thought was interesting was because he actually was fair. It wasn't just write Purdue off right away, give them 2 to 3 wins and call it a day because the schedule's really hard. No, he dug in a little bit deeper and he said, okay, there's some things to like about this Purdue team. One of the things he really likes is he likes the tandem of running backs. He loves Reggie Love and Devin Mockabee. And he thinks the offensive line, if they're at least as good as last year, Purdue will be a really tough running team. The other thing he likes these Georgia transfers a lot and how they bolster a solid defense. And I think if you dig in deeper, like we all have, like you have, if you're listening and watching, is you look at that defensive backfield being so, so good and how much talent they have in the defensive backfield. That's a game changer in this era of college football because you can stop a lot of vertical teams. You can stop a lot of the stuff underneath. And then on top of that, Purdue is fortified in the middle too. Defense is going to be good all over the field. Pete went ahead and he ranked, first off, let's talk about what he did. So he said he thought Purdue would have between 4 and 6 wins. That's right where I have them. I said 5 to 6, and that would be a really, really good season with this schedule. Such a difficult schedule. Like I've already said this evening, you guys don't know it, but one of the difficulties is, like, for instance, you've got Oregon State who's in transition. They lose their coach to Michigan State, but Purdue has to go out to Corvallis to play them. That's hard, right? Another pre-con game right away, you got Notre Dame, which is one of the best teams in America. The program's been solid Marcus Freeman is looking for his best season to date. He obviously has leaned heavily on NIL and portal guys. Last year was quarterback. This year, I can't remember who they got, but they got another great quarterback. No surprise there. Purdue's got their own great quarterback that they can speak of in Hudson Card. And we're going to talk about him in a second in this ranking. But Hudson Card in his second year in this system, I think, will be very good. These running backs are going to be very good. The offensive line will be better. And look out for Max Clair, something that a lot of Boiler fans know and a lot of national media types don't know about. Max Clair is going to make some noise at tight end. So let's talk about this. This is cool. The 10 best Purdue football players, according to Pete Fiatek at College Football News. Number 10, Markavius Brown, cornerback, senior cornerback. We know him from last year. Number 9, Reggie Love, the transfer from Illinois, often injured at Illinois, but now he has a little bit of weight off his shoulders. He's going to be behind Devin Mockabee, who I expect big things from Purdue, from him this week, this year, and I don't think there's any reason not to. I know a lot of Purdue fans were bothered by the fumble problem he had, especially in that he had a bunch of them in one part. It forced Walters to have to look elsewhere a little earlier in games and not play Mockabee as much as he wanted to when that disease was happening. Fumbleitis was everywhere, and even Card caught it for a little bit. But I think that's isolated, and I think it can be corrected, and I sure as hell hope so. I think much of the success of this season will depend on how clean of an offensive game Purdue can play since that defense is so good. Number 8, Yanni Karlaftis, one of the royalty families within the Purdue football program right now. Yanni bulking up every year, slowly but surely looking more the part. Last year he looked better, and he made big plays. He looked really good at the end of games, made plays then. I think he'll have another good season. I think it's good to have him at 8. Devin Mockabee, number 7. Like I just said, Mockabee is the difference maker. He's going to be one of the best players in the Big Ten. 6, Marcus Bowe, tackle. I would put Musa in this group in the top 10, maybe edging out one or two guys. And I have one other guy that I'd probably move out of this top 10 or bring into the top 10, better word. Number 5, Hudson Card, the Texas transfer, the now Boilermaker. He is officially deep in the Purdue fabric now. And Purdue expects a lot of him and would love to see him take a seat in the cradle. But we'll see. They've got a lot of work to do before we can talk that way. But if he gets even close, it could be a special season for Purdue. Number 4, Nylon Green, the Georgia transfer at cornerback. Number 3, Gus Hartwig, who has been steady. Had a little bit of injury problem last year, but Gus is a cerebral guy. He's an intimidating center and absolutely an anchor for that offensive line. Number 2, Kedron Jenkins. Kedron Jenkins, thank God he stayed. He's gonna have a really big season. His position change. He goes from a defensive end to a linebacker role. The other side is one of the, let me see if I can find it real quickly. The defensive end from Georgia, the transfer. See if I can find him. CJ Madden and Jenkins are a tandem that are going to do some damage this year. So it's good to have him on that list, have him that high on that list, because Jenkins is important. And then finally, Dylan Thieneman is the number 1. No surprise to anybody. I already said this once. I feel like Groundhog Day, but I would have had Card a little higher. I would have put Card at probably 3rd or 4th on this list, and I would have invited one, if not two guys, but definitely one guy I'd put on this list, on my top 10 for Purdue football players or impact players, I would put Cole Brevard in there. I'm a big Cole Brevard guy. I think he started showing how important he was last season at times. He's a big body. He moves really well for his size. He's a good run stopper, moves laterally really well, even when engaged. And I think he's going to be very, very important, especially with those ends being as deadly as they are. You have to have a guy who can do a lot. So I think Cole Brevard will make some noise this year. And I would have put Cole Brevard in that maybe 8 to 9 range in that top 10 for the Purdue football players that are on the roster this year. So there we go. That's take number 2. We got through the sports part. Now we can get to the bourbon talk, which I know some of you are excited to hear it. Let's see. Commentary. I don't see what that was. GSJ. Oh, that's Shannon. I didn't talk about that. Todd Singer, I see, is weighing in about basketball. I'll get to that in a second, Todd. I think it's a good question. Did you already discuss Terrence Shannon Jr. being found not guilty? And if you read that case, Todd, this is one thing that I started backing way far away of kind of the accusatory looking down on that whole situation. If you read that case back months ago, and I did, and I know I'm jumping around, but I thought this was interesting to talk about, Todd. But that case was always shaky. I'm surprised to this day that they decided to go after Terrence Shannon Jr. after learning what I learned. The girl, her identification of him was really suspect. And if you want to read up on it, you can. But yeah, I think that's a big deal. I think it's a shame if... I don't care what it is. If he's guilty, you hope he goes to jail for doing, you know... by the way, that was... If you want to get in deep in the weeds, that was really sexual assault. And I think they called it rape. That was another thing that I was like, I'm not a lawyer, but there were all sorts of things. Even her accusation versus what was publicly charged, I thought were not accurate. They didn't jibe to me. But if somebody sexually assaults somebody, they should go to jail. But if somebody doesn't, and these accusations are made and they're false, that person should go to jail. And I don't know if that happens in this case. I don't even know how that works, but I mean it. That you're going to ruin somebody's life, there should be major, major consequences. And I think generally what happens is there'll be civil suits that some people will do to come back and try to right the ship. The problem is your name is already ruined. Your reputation is ruined. You have to do so much to try to even claw back to square one, let alone if you were somebody who had a good reputation. So sounds like this is the right to me. Terrence Shannon Jr. was not guilty, sounds like to me, but I'm not a lawyer. I wasn't in court, but what I read months ago, I thought was suspect. So yeah, good points to bring up. Okay, so let's get to the Knob Creek Single Barrel Reserve 9-year 120 proof. Okay, so I've got a Glencairn glass, and some of you guys have gotten after me. I had a couple of you get mad because I put ice in Glencairn in a Glencairn glass. Let me talk a little about the Glencairn glass. First off, it was designed in Scotland, and it was designed so you could take in the scotch with your nose and your palate in a more concentrated manner. Okay, so it's designed so you can really, really enjoy the aroma of it and then enjoy the taste because it focuses everything at your nose and your mouth. Okay, there is a Canadian Glencairn glass, and I may be saying that wrong, Glencairn glass. And in that one, in Canada, it's a wider mouth, but it's shaped the same way. Okay, this one came first, and the Queen actually honored whoever the inventor, the designer of the Glencairn. But in Canada, it's a wider mouth, and they put ice in it, and it's accepted. In Scotland, they don't accept it. But in America, Boiler Dowd puts ice in his Glencairn. And I'll tell you why I do it, because I love the way this thing feels in your hand. If you don't have one, they are so easy to sip with because the way they just sit in your hand. So if you're like me and you just like to enjoy the taste of bourbon, a rocks glass is nice. And a boiled sports rocks glass is great. But a Glencairn, pretty darn good way to experience, especially something if you're having friends over. And I've got a couple friends. I don't think any of them are on here right now. When I have somebody over and I've got some new stuff, I'll line up the bourbon or the rye and I'll say, okay, we'll start from easy to a little bit more challenging. And I like them to drink less than an ounce and just try it and then see which one do you want to have now on ice. Do you want to drink it neat, whatever? And so I'm going to start with this neat in the Glencairn glass. Okay, on the nose. So here's what I'm going to tell you right away. 120 proof, you know it. When you stick your nose into something with 120 proof, you get a lot of alcohol on the nose, and it's an experience. Knob Creek base product. Okay. I don't think it's that interesting. This stuff I think should be really interesting. I've tried it before, but I'm trying to go in with this, a fresh look. Okay. On the nose, a lot of alcohol, little bit of caramel, not much oak on that scent, but a lot of alcohol. Okay. So down the hatch. Okay. So a lot of you guys stay away from a 120 proof simply because the Kentucky hug is not a hug. It is, it's like a big bear hug from an angry bear, and you're wearing a meat suit. Okay. It's hot. So this one, I will tell you, and despite it's a 9-year-old bourbon that should be well behaved, this one's got a Kentucky hug that it hits you and it kind of rolls in the back of your tongue like they do. And then it comes back up your tongue and it's like, it's hot. Okay. This is part of the reason I like to put bourbon on ice is I do think it opens things up. I think for me, the temperature is easier to drink. I like cold beverages. I like cold beverages. If you know that reference, sound off in the comments. I like cold drinks. So ice is just a better, for me, I'm not European. I'm an American. We always have ice. When you go to China, if you ever travel to China on business, it's hard to find ice. And you probably don't want the ice either because it's been made with water that might not be the best stuff for your stomach. But when in America, I drink my beverages on ice. And I drink my bourbon and my rye on ice. This, I'm drinking a couple sips. Just neat. But I can tell you, this stuff packs a punch. Yeah, the second one gets you again. So I'm not going to say that's a bad taste, okay? What I will say, holy moly, there's heat there. And it needs to be opened up with some ice. 120 proof, I drink high proof bourbon. I said this before, I drink high proof rye. 120, you're getting up near cask strength. You get up near 130, you're insane. I know there are some that I've tried that I'm like, goodness gracious, why are we doing this to ourselves? You know, cut that with water. You know, throw it on your fire, whatever. But cask strength stuff is absolutely a punishment. I don't think there's a good way to do it, okay? 120 proof, though, it to me, again, this I'm a little let down. This is two in a row that I kind of had higher expectations because of the age, and I'm not getting what I want to out of that. Thanks to the good folks at Knob Creek for trying. If you think I need to try it again, Knob Creek, send me another bottle. You're welcome to. Look me up. I added you guys on Twitter. You're welcome to. So now I've put it over ice. I've let it swirl around a little bit. Probably needs another second or two just to open up. Already a better experience, though, just because the temperature is better. I enjoy that. The water in there also, you know, a lot of people say you can put whatever you want in your bourbon as long as it's water. Frozen, steam, or ice cubes. I'm not that much of a bourbon snob. Put what you want in it. The thing I would say, if you're going to mix your bourbon with something else, you've got a lot more money than I do. Because generally, I'm like, okay, this is an expensive bottle. I try to buy stuff that tastes better. And so I would never mix this stuff. But unless you're making old fashioned, that's a good mixer. This would be a pretty good old fashioned. I know it's not traditional. We're not using rye in the old fashioned, but this would be a pretty good bourbon in an old fashioned because it would stand up. So here's what I get when I open it up. So on the front side, it's still, you get a little bit of caramel, but real quickly it goes from caramel and then it gets spicy, almost like a rye, which I don't know if that makes a ton of sense. And then it gets warm from the alcohol. Something I would sip. I've obviously drank some here. I'll show you the bottle. I think I've shared this with people, but there's the Knob Creek right there. Single barrel on the boiler down scale, 1 to 10. Cause I did this last week and I'm going to do it this week. And, last week we had the Bottled and Bond, Heaven Hill, which was 100 proof, I think, because it's bottled in bond. I think I gave that a 7. Did I give it a 7? I think I gave it a 7. This is not up to par, in my opinion, up there. This is going to get a 5. And somebody, do me a favor in the comments. If you're watching on delay, let me know. Give me a Knob Creek product that you swear by that's really, really good. I want to try it because I have never been super impressed with Knob Creek. Just haven't. But if you got one, you're saying that's a surefire winner. Like here, I'll tell you what. You get a bottle of Four Roses single barrel. You're going to be happy. It's a good sipper. It's really, really good stuff. I think it'll satisfy a lot of different palates. Knob Creek to me, it's like when you're starting bourbon, it's easy to find. It's not very challenging. The normal stuff. It's not It's not great. But this is just, man, it's got some harshness. That's all I can say. And it's, again, 9 years old. For that age, should be better behaved. So I don't mean to sound like a disappointed dad, but I am. All right. Ted Berkey says sounds better. This, we're going to go through this real quickly. Ron Gable reviewing the sound. Adam P. said he was back. So Ted Berkey says, went almost 20 minutes, looked great. Yeah, so that's part of the deal, guys. You come here for the bourbon bar. It's just to look at the eye candy. Sorry. I apologize again for the audio problems if you sat through it. But if this is your first run, it's going to be better. Hey, Adam P. talked about his drink being gone. Ted Berkey says, we'll be losing... we will be losing your intern soon as well. Well, he's not an intern. He was a full-time staffer. And Ted is talking about LBD going off to school, going off to Purdue in August. He'll be going to the Boiler Gold Rush. If you participate in the Boiler Gold Rush, you know how much of a good program that is. I'm excited for him to go. We have to pay that bill soon for the Boiler Gold Rush. But I think that's a great program. I think it started officially under that name when I was a freshman, and I didn't go on Boiler Gold Rush. So that would have been fall of 1993. It's going strong. If you've seen pictures or videos or you've been, I mean, a big chunk of Rossade in the north end zone is full with the Boiler Gold Rush kids. So I'm excited for him. I think it's a great entry to his time at Purdue, but he's been around campus a little bit. He's gone to a lot of basketball, a lot of football games, even gone to a baseball game with me, but he's been around. So yeah, I do lose him. He's not here. If you had a senior in high school in your house, I think the normal way of life is what we have had. My wife and I have had this year, which is LBD comes home and it's like he's on a clock and he's got to leave soon. He's got things to do. He's got places to go. He's working right now, but also he gets home and it's like the house is on fire and he's got to get out and save himself. So if you're hearing this, LBD, hope you're well. I'm just kidding. We saw him. I saw him for just before dinner because he eats at weird times too. He doesn't sit down and eat dinner with all of us. So yeah, I'm already lamenting. Anyway, sorry. Let's keep going. Zach Yater says thumbs up. Everything sounds good. Frail Hammers, no issues. Excellent. Todd Singer says met friends at the bar earlier, went with Buffalo Trace. Excellent choice since they were out of CEHT and Eagle Rare. CEHT. I don't know what that is. Todd, I apologize. Todd is a big bourbon guy. Todd was kind enough to gift me a bottle. I don't think Todd gave me this. I know he didn't. He gave me something really good, and I think I destroyed it with a couple friends. Wish I could remember, Todd. I apologize. I know what it was. It was Angel's Envy. I think it was Angel's Envy. And I went through. You gave me a bottle, and then I had another one to follow it up. I think that's true. I think it was Angel's Envy rye. And that stuff, I'm going to do a tasting of that next week. And that is comfort food, if you will. It is so easy to drink, especially compared to this. So Todd, again, I publicly thanked Todd a couple times. I want to do it again. That was a very nice gesture. I appreciate it still. But Eagle Rare, my friend, is excellent. Buffalo Trace was my first bourbon that I would buy repetitively. Now, when I go to the store, I try to buy a different bottle every time. I know it's a little weird, but I'm trying to just have different flavors. So hopefully when I get down here, Todd, you'll tell me what CEHD is. But if not, you'll have to just tell me sometime. Zach Yater says, catching finish the visit at BYU. Only place he visited so far, I believe. Really sounds like he's going to BYU. That's a really unusual twist to me. It's not much of a basketball power, but I guess there's a road between Salt Lake and I think Brigham Young is in Salt Lake and West Lafayette. Matt Harms opened that road. So Mike B says, who? Yeah, it's a good way to handle it, Mike. So I'm with you. Maniacally Steve says, cheers, Dad. Good evening. Same to you, Steve, and thanks again to all you guys who have stuck through this. Ron Gable says people seem to be underestimating first. Easy for me to say. I'm thinking that he will have his best year at Purdue next year, and I hope he does. If you know a little about Caleb First, you know he's a guy that very strong faith. He's a cerebral kid. It's funny because he sounds like a doofus sometimes when he talks, and he's funny. And I think he leans on his sense of humor. But he's also a pretty serious guy that has focus on what he wants to do in life. He wants to go be a doctor. And I think his studies are going great. I think his GPA is ridiculous. But he's engaged now. He got engaged, I think, early this summer. And I'm excited for him. I think he's one of the reasons that he wants to finish Purdue, his Purdue career. At Purdue, he was never interested in going anyplace else because there are Michigan State fans that really wanted Caleb first. The guys at Sleeper Media, they said they wanted Caleb first. Carter Elliott. But I think he's a guy that I think we may underestimate him because he doesn't make as much impact on the court as he has at times. But he's very important behind closed doors because he is a morale guy. He's a really good basketball player, too. He's a really good athlete. He's an underrated athlete. He's quick. He can get off the floor quickly. He can shoot. Pretty complete player, but he seems to fade every mid-January. So it'd be neat if he could put together a complete season. He's a very good player, and I would love to see him starting this year. This is me. Mike B says, Caleb joins a long list of past Boilers that were okay rotation players, then broke out something as better as seniors. That'd be awesome. It'd be fun to see, wouldn't it? Ron Gable says, I believe that Jacobson, I don't say that, is going to be hard to keep off the court as well. Yeah, Ron, he is. And the reason he's going to be hard to keep off the court is because of his ability to get off the court quickly, block shots, excellent timing, runs the court well, silky smooth mover, can shoot the three. I mean, the funny thing is he needs to put on some weight. Brandon Brantley is an expert at putting on good weight. I mean, he's a guy that's my age. He knows how to do it, and he's going to help him with that. He's going to help him with a lot. But I believe you are correct. It is going to be tough to keep Jacobson off the floor. I do agree with that. Let's see. Zach Yater says, may also mean more time for TKR and at the four and the benefit of big guys like Jacobson and Berg. Yeah, Jacob, we're not talking a lot about Berg either. And Berg can sneak up on a lot of people, even Purdue fans. If you watch him practicing, you're like, this guy's got a nice bag of tricks too. So the Euro game's strong there. The question is, again, how can he play 20 minutes, 25 minutes really hard against really big dudes? And he's got some age on him. He's obviously, he fits the part, if you look at him, a lot more than Jacobson does. Jacobson's skill is going to have him breathing down Berg's neck. I'm sure of that. But let's see. Yeah, Ted Berg says, will Walters be as aggressive as he was early in the season last year? I think Walters is going to be more aggressive for most of the season. I think this year we're going to see that defense the way Walters wants to coach it. This is the kind of the secret of you're looking at, if you believe what I believe, that this Purdue team could get 5, 6, 7 wins. If you believe what Pete Fiatek says, this is why. It's because the bodies. He's got athletes now. One thing you saw last year was Thieneman drop back in that, that deep set single safety, but the cornerbacks had such a hard time playing a man-to-man. Well, now you've got guys who can play man. And I think you have healthy corners. Remember last year, the injury bug started killing them, and that's why Walters backed off so much. So, yeah, I think he's going to be aggressive. Let's see. Karen Gerlach, she erased her comment. Oh, she's coming down here. Okay. Ted Berge says, take in the scotch and warm scotch to blood temperature by holding it with the cup with both hands. So hold like that? Well, so yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big warm beverage guy. I mean, I don't like hot toddies even when I'm not feeling well in the dead of winter. So, bigger gulp, a lot more ice. It's already melted there. Okay, now we're someplace. It must just be that, and like many of you said, it's much better when it's had that much ice melt in it. It's still not that interesting. So the Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond last week, very interesting flavors, a lot, like hits you at different parts on the tongue. That's part of the reason I like the ryes that are finished in, wine barrel, because they have that balance of flavor and different things happening. This just has it's better now. like I said, but yeah, it needs a little rest. It needs 120 is too much for it. Yeah, Ted Briggs says, still sound good, still look good, and my bourbon still tastes good. Excellent, Ted. We're enjoying together. It's excellent. MHC says, heck yeah, little G-Love cold beverages. Yes, yes, yes. G-Love and special sauce. I like cold beverages. And if you don't appreciate a little G-Love and special sauce, especially that song, come on now. Where are you? You call yourself a Gen Xer? Come on. Gotta love the G-Love. Ted Berkey says, you can mix it with smoke. So you're talking about, I've never done this yet. I have not smoked my own ice. I don't know if you guys have done that where you put the ice in your smoker and then you freeze it. I need to do that. That's a summer project I need to do. So that's on my list of things to do. So adding more smoke, never a bad thing. Karen Gerlach says, Four Roses, my dad's drink. Brings back memories. Had a first sip at 7, I think. Okay, Karen. So I came from a family that I got to try a little bit of alcohol younger. I didn't drink really until I was 21. I was pretty square. But my uncles would give me samples of beer. I thought it was my dad. My memory told me it was my dad because my parents had a bar in the basement when I was growing up. Irish Catholic. I was raised Irish Catholic. Still in Irish. But my uncles would give me beer. I asked my dad if he gave me beer because my memory told me. He's like, no, I didn't do that. So I was like, okay. But so I'm with you kind of there. Bourbon is for a 7-year-old. That'll make you not want bourbon, I would think. Karen Gerlach says, Team Caleb and Fletcher, and we should be. We should be all these. Let's not. This season, I think most Purdue fans are really good about this, but let's not get after our own. You know, let's build these guys up. And I think I got after Fletch a little bit last year, but it's because I just thought he could play better. You know, it didn't ever get personal or anything like that. I hope you guys never saw that. And I was wanting to see a little bit more Miles Colvin because I thought the upside, the athleticism was really good with Miles. But yeah, I'm with you there. Q Turner says, I found 7 wins. Walk through the schedule. We can get there. And Q has been on this in the comments section in different places for a bit. He is confident in his football Boilermakers, and I love it. 7 is a lot. And maybe we can discuss that on Twitter or something like that, Q. So he's got, takes 2 upsets, and he says Indy and Oregon State. To me, so my hot take, sitting from where I sit right now, I know Oregon State's good, and they're coming off a pretty good season. But I think they're in transition. And sometimes teams can ride out that transition easy the first year, but I think they lost a lot of parts, too. So Indy would be a massive upset, and it would make everyone who was on the fence about Ryan Walters jump into his corner right away. So that'd be excellent. Oregon State, though, going out west and having them get a hero's welcome back on campus when they get back on the airport, that would be awesome. Be good for the students, be good for the team, be good for the new guys, right? You got a lot of new parts because of the portal. But it's going to be around defense if that happens. If they go out west and they beat Oregon State, I don't think that's that much of an upset, but it would be an upset. That would be a big deal. Be a big team-building exercise. Blake Widmer says, I would love to have a nice bourbon right now. Fletch is going to get better. Don't sleep on Berg. Good takes all around. Let's see. Fletch has already gotten better. There's some factoid that we, as Purdue fans, may not appreciate. He led the Big Ten in 3-point shooting percentage, I believe, for guys who had shot in a certain number of threes. You can't sleep on Fletch. The rest of the Big Ten is annoyed by Fletch. Many of them got annoyed. They thought he flopped. Did Fletch maybe exaggerate some contact? Sure. Here's my hot take. You ready? Okay. If Purdue is going to take a stride into the next, even the next realm, the next is a big step. You're a national champ next time, right? They've been number one multiple seasons. They've gone to a national championship, obviously gone to a Final Four, won multiple conference championships. That's old hat for Painter and Purdue. The next step is getting the national championship. A lot of people have said, okay, maybe in one of these, I think there's a space that Duke used to fill that is not there anymore. And I think the media still thinks Duke is there, but I don't think they have it. They have tons of talent, obviously. John Shire brings in talent. The Duke bag men, bring in talent. But I don't think Duke's the old Duke. Just because I don't think Shire is K. And who is, right? So if Purdue's going to fill that void that Duke leaves, they have to have guys that are kind of good at being the bad guy, good at being the enemy. And that's Fletch Lawyer. How about that? I know I went a long way for that discussion. I started talking about this theory months ago with a couple of friends that are close to me and Jay Money specifically. I said, Fletch Lawyer would fit at Duke. Some people say he has a punchable face. I don't think that. I think he has a very pleasant face, and the good looks run in that family too. Mom is good looking. Sister's pretty. His brother, handsome, with an excellent, excellent hairline, by the way. His brother, Foster, has got that dead straight hairline. I admire it. I admire many hairlines, though, at this point. But anyway, I digress. Ted Berkey says, Sleeper said that Fletch will be the bad guy of the Big Ten moving forward. They're right about that. I used to watch Sleepers and listen to them all the time, and they've rubbed me the wrong way a couple times for a couple different reasons. But so now I'm less consistent with it. I like to listen to them. I respect the game. I respect the grind. The fact that they put out so much content, that's awesome. But sometimes they get ahead of themselves. When you talk as much as they do, I mean, you talk as much as I do, you get ahead of yourself. When you talk as much as them, they get ahead of themselves. And they got way, way ahead of themselves with the cannon catching things. I called them on it on Twitter. I think they had a horrible analogy. I'll stick with that idea. The idea was explained to me was not the same as the words that came out of the mouth. And I'm a guy that understands analogy and I like it. But I didn't agree. I think they got way out in front of their skis. So guys, girls, let's see. Blake says Sleepers is solid. They do get ahead of themselves, but they come back around. They do. They apologize, which is pretty awesome. Nobody does that in this day and age, except for Boiler Down Sleepers, I guess. They've been big on Braden before others were. Yeah, and one thing that I loved last year is when Braden Smith went off versus Illinois. When Braden Smith went off versus Illinois and put him to sleep, they thought that was next level stuff and kind of a sign that Braden has gone to a different place in his confidence as a player. And I tend to agree. So you can sound off in the comments. Is it Braden's team? Is it Braden and Fletch's team? Is it Braden, Fletch, and TKR's team? I think it's Braden's team. This is my feeling. When you have a point guard that's that confident, who has the ball in his hands that often and can make plays and has that swagger, that's a good thing. And it's kind of a foreign idea for Purdue fans. Let's be real honest. Here's the really good news. Braden Smith can be one of the best players in America. Hopefully he's here for two more years. The next part is right waiting there. CJ Cox and Jakari Harris are coming on strong. CJ Cox coming out of nowhere. A lot of people don't even know where he is, where he's coming from. He's from New Hampshire. But he's a defensive guy, and he's a guy that wants to do the little stuff. He wants to get grimy. He'll earn Painter's favor that way. He's also a pretty decent athlete. But Jakari Harris, buy Jakari Harris stock now. It's going up. And on that note, I'm going to let you go. I hope you have a great evening. I missed The Chosen aired live. I missed. My daughter just walked in. So I got to go watch that eventually. But good entertainment to me. And I hope you've had a great evening. I apologize for the tech difficulties. I appreciate you sticking around for a while. And we'll get back together in a week. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. But maybe a bourbon bar on location someplace else soon. Who knows? We'll see. Until then, God bless you. Hammer down. Talk to you soon. See ya.